Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Father, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace, your long-suffering, your mercy towards us. Thank you, Father, for the relationship that any single person can have with you through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that salvation is not something that's a mystery. Father, it's very simple. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Very simple. Even a child can understand it. But Father, the heart still has to be prepared, and the heart has to receive the truth of your word. And faith, Lord, has to be given so that that person will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They have to see their need. Father, I pray that you would continue to help us to see our need in walking with you daily. And Father, the fact that just like Noah, we found grace in the eyes of the Lord, not because of our goodness, not because of our own righteousness, but Father, because we were in need of the righteousness of Christ. We were in need of forgiveness, and we were in need of an abundance of life that only comes through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us and what you will even do in this hour. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to us this morning about finding grace in godless times, because we live in a godless day. We live where no one's really seeking after God. Christians have been lured away from the truth, living their life opposite of what God would have them to do, thinking that they're getting life when life is found only in Jesus Christ and following in his ways. And looking at the life of Noah, God told us that in the last days, it would be like the days of Noah. There would be just wickedness running rampant. The world would be full of sin as it was in these days of Noah. Just the fact that it says the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. We live in that day and age where it just seems sin is just abounding. But aren't you glad that God's word is still true? Where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. There's more grace than there is sin. But sin is still reality. Sin still is running rampant. But God's people don't have to be caught up in it. We don't have to be discouraged by it. We know, hey, you know what? We got to pray. We know that Jesus has the answer. And just like Noah, God has given us an opportunity to be preachers of righteousness. And what that means to be a preacher of righteousness is to just tell people the good news, and that, you know what? There is a way to escape the wrath of God that's coming. There's a way to escape the destruction. There is a way to escape what you're trying to run from in your life, and that is through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, the Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen," or not seen as yet, "moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And you know, God gave Noah the blueprint to build this ark. And this ark would save him and his family, would save the animals that God would bring to it, but it would also save anybody that would put their faith and trust in that ark. Now you got to imagine, they were living in a day where it didn't rain. They had the dew, they had the mist. The Bible says that, you know, the earth gave up the mist to water the ground and stuff. There was this canopy around the earth that acted like a greenhouse, gave the earth a greenhouse effect. So they had not seen rain, let alone what was the need of building this huge ark that God gives the dimensions to. And right there in Kentucky, they have constructed a life-size ark. To the best of their ability, to the best of figuring out what the measurements was. And we've gone to it. My wife and I, we've seen it. It's like, man, it's huge. It gives you an idea of what it must have been like for Noah in that day. Saying is, here, God is giving Noah something to do because Noah is surrounded by violence. He's surrounded by wickedness. God says that man's heart, the thoughts, the imaginations of the heart were wicked continually. You know, like I said, we're living in those days. Now, is it as bad as it was in the days of Noah? Don't know. Scripture just doesn't really tell us everything that was going on. But when you read Scripture, you know, there were human sacrifices. There was just a desperate, wicked heart against God because of man, because of sin. Cain being the first murderer, because of his parents had sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, and sin passed upon all, and because of sin, there's death. I mean, just as it gets to the generation of Noah and even his three sons, it is more wicked than the first day that Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden. It just, sin progresses. It gets worse and worse and worse. And it has gotten worse and worse and worse until this generation. God dealt with it back in Noah's day. God flooded the entire earth, so all lives were lost. All creatures were lost. All the land animals, all the creeping things, all the fowls of the air were lost that were not in that ark, because God had passed judgment. And there's coming another day like that, but it will be with fire. In Matthew 24, verse 37, Jesus says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." We know that when Jesus Christ returns, the earth is going to be so filled with wickedness. I mean, it already is now. I mean, you cannot but turn on the news or read a newspaper article about just some tragedy, some school shooting, some murder, something going on around the world. I mean, sin has filled this world, the world that God created. The very world that, when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, God looked at and said, it's good. Everything God created, he said, it's good. It's good, it's good. Until man corrupted it. Till sin came in and corrupted it. What I'm saying is that it's going to get worse before it gets better, but you and I don't have to feel defeated. We don't have to feel hopeless, and we shouldn't, because we already know we have victory in Christ. We already know Jesus Christ is coming again. We already know those that are desperately wicked and those that do not have the Spirit of Christ in them will continue to commit heinous crimes. That's why the need is so great for the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine in our life and through our church so others will see a reason of the hope that lies within us, so that we can, with our own lips, be able to give a testimony of what God has done in our life. But even in godless days, we can still find the grace of God. Noah found the grace of God even in the days that he lived, even being surrounded by the wickedness. I want you to notice just what it says in verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then down in verse number 9, Noah walked with God. Even before that, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Even in the midst of godliness, or in the midst of godless society, you and I can still walk uprightly before the Lord. We can still live a life that is surrendered to Christ, and we need to. I touched on it a little bit in Sunday school. Listen, we're living in a day and age where sin is so easily accessible. Someone mentioned again this morning that the verse that talks about don't give place to the devil. Don't let the devil have any room in your life. There are so many avenues the devil can come into our life and sift us like wheat and cause us to drift away from the Lord and destroy our life if we let him, and that is opening up doors to sin. The devil can't do anything in your life without God allowing it. We see that throughout Scripture. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are the children of God. God protects us as a hedge of protection, but we got to be careful that we do not live like godless people. The internet is the devil's tool. It's a great thing. I mean, we can look up good things, you know, looking up recipes, listening to preaching, you know, things you're trying to find that are good, but the devil still wants to use that to get into your heart and your mind through things we see, through the temptation of clicking on something we shouldn't be clicking on. The music, everything. The devil is looking for avenues to get into our hearts and minds, and we have to guard ourselves. It doesn't matter, and I'll get to the message in a minute, but it doesn't matter what the crowd is doing. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. One thing I always told my parents when I was little, so-and-so gets to do it. Johnny gets to. Why can't I? And I would always hear in some fashion, because you're not him. Because I said so. Because you don't need to. Right? We don't have to follow. We shouldn't follow the crowd. We should be following Christ. The devil will use anybody, anything to lead you and me off the straight and narrow path onto his path of destruction. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's not just talking about lost people doing what they think is right. Even the prodigal son thought, you know what, my way is better, and it got him down into the pig pen. It got him to the end of his life. It got him beaten up, chewed up, spit out by the world. But again, this morning we're going to see, starting with the fact that the ruin of sin is real. Sin does not play around. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but when sin is done, it brings destruction in a person's life. When you look at verses 5 and 11, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Again, because of sin, the world God had created, the lives that God had given breath to, were being destroyed by sin. Sin always destroys. Sin will present itself as something harmless, something beautiful, something that will give you wisdom, something that might even help you in this life, but when it's done, you're left empty. You're left destroyed in some way. It doesn't matter what the world says. The world will always say, good is evil and evil is good. The world will always say, Stop being so religious. Stop reading your Bible so much. Stop going to church so much. It's the only thing that helps us to know what's right and wrong and to help us stay on the straight and narrow path. You and I know of young people that need prayer. The devil is not playing games anymore. The devil is after your children, my children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren, your spouse, your friends, my friends, your family members, your co-workers, my co-workers. He doesn't care what your and my relationship with God is. He will use anything he can to destroy you, me, and everybody in between. We have to stop winking at sin. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a grown man, when I grew up, I put away the childish things. The devil doesn't play fair. You and I have got to get back on our face and knees before God more than we ever have before, so that God will speak to us. When was the last time you and I heard the voice of God clearly tell us to do something? Noah is about to be told, build an ark. Then later he's going to be told, get into that ark. Because there was only one way of salvation in the days of Noah, and that was in that ark and through that one door. There's only one way of salvation in our day, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the ruin of sin in this world, Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Just mankind has been ruined by sin. Sexual immorality is running rampant. Fornication is something it's common. It's accepted even among Christians. I get so sick of certain relatives posting things on Facebook where they're promoting this fornication, and even in the same post saying, he's such a godly man, she's such a godly woman. If he was so godly, he would keep his hands off until marriage. If she was so godly, she'd have a Christ-like mind to stay modest and not just allow herself to be taken advantage of. It's amazing the sexual immorality that's accepted among God's people. But even the absolute depravity of man and the increased brutality in our society, where I don't like you and I just kill you. You know, road rage? I have so many people cut me off. I get upset. But to be honest, because the Lord's helped me, I haven't thought about killing them. But understand, we live in a society where that's people's first thought is, you know what, I don't like you, and they kill you. Our people are beat up. And why is that? It's because of sin. Why do we have people going into schools and shooting innocent kids and teachers? Because of sin. Because they have feasted upon the wickedness that is portrayed in movies, video games, books. And it takes over their mind and their heart, and they act upon it. But you know what? With the sin that runs so rampant, there's coming a judgment day just like there was in the days of Noah. In verses 6 and 7, it says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God was grieved because of how sin had ruined so many lives. He was grieved at the fact that lives were being destroyed by sin, and nobody wanted anything to do with God. Because, you know, even in the days that Noah, 120 years of building the ark, not one person other than his family helped build the ark. Not one person wanted anything to do with the ark because they were so wrapped up with their own life and thought, well, there's no judgment coming. And for 120 years, there was no judgment. All things continued. And the Bible says, they will say, all things continue since the fathers have fell asleep. That doesn't mean that we don't need to still live with the urgency that, you know what, God's judgment's coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe a lot of Christians have lost sight that their Savior is coming again, and that's why they live their life the way they do, with no regard to upholding the relationship they have with God in their life. Listen, God pronounces judgment's coming because it grieved him at his heart because of the sin. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God pronounces judgment upon the earth. And God has pronounced judgment upon this earth again. One day it's going to be burned up, as the Bible says. A new heaven, a new earth is coming. But just because there's sin doesn't mean there's no hope. Just because someone's living a wicked lifestyle does not mean there's no hope for them, because God's grace can reach down from heaven and touch their heart. God's arm is not too short. It cannot save. His ear is not too heavy. It cannot hear. But God's people have turned a deaf ear to what God is trying to say to their heart. God's people have turned their backs on their Savior. And you and I need to get back to walking with God, back to having a sensitive relationship with God, where we walk in the Spirit of God, where we hear God's voice, and not let the ways of the world control us any longer. But in Isaiah 59, verse 1, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Just because there is sin running rampant does not mean God can't do anything. God's always been the saving business. Again, that's why where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Remember, grace is the unmerited favor of God. All of us have experienced the unmerited favor of God. I did nothing to receive the favor of God. In fact, I was running from God when God broke me down. And God got me to a place where I realized, even though I went to church as a kid, I knew heaven and hell were real. I knew the devil was real, but I was still running with the devil. And God stopped me one night and said, you better make a decision right now. And I wrestled with that decision for a little bit that night. But I finally gave in to it, gave in to the Lord, and cried out and said, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I need you to come into my life, and I believe Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And other words I had said, and I just remember the peace that came over me, just knowing it was not just words, but my life was going to be changed, that God had heard my cry, that God was the one speaking to me, because the devil will never convince you to do what's right. The devil will never try to get you to do what's right, but the Holy Spirit of God does. The devil will never convict you of sin. Has anyone ever been convicted of sin and the devil said, yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing that? No. He tries to help us convince ourselves, well, it's just a little thing. I mean, so-and-so, they do it. It's accepted. I mean, it's legal. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right in the eyes of God. What I'm saying is, even though there's ruin because of sin, the grace of God is more abundant. We all have the unmerited favor of God because of grace. In verse number 8, you see that in Noah's life. Though sin was rampant, wickedness was rampant in the days of Noah, but Noah, in verse 8, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found so much grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was walking with God. He had a heart for God. He didn't allow the wickedness around him to influence his life. I mean, there's more deeper theology in what was going on, but just think about this. He did not allow the wickedness to influence his life. He did not go with the crowd. And he certainly didn't let his kids do it either. 3 sons he raised. And those three sons helped him build that ark. They were involved in the ministry that God had given to Noah. But because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, when you look at verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And because he walked with God, God warned Noah of what was going to come. Because in Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, he didn't know what was coming, but he knew, you know what, destruction's coming. So God graciously warned Noah, hey, time's ticking. Time is short. Judgment's coming. I want you to prepare your house. What's the best way that you and I as parents can prepare our house for the judgment's coming? Make sure you tell your kids about salvation. I can't control my kids, but we can definitely tell them, hey, you want to have a relationship with God. Some kids will listen, some kids won't. But as long as we tell them and then pray for them consistently, constantly, fervently, that their hearts would be drawn to Christ. I'm saying is, God has warned us. There are things in our own personal life that God warns us that we shouldn't be doing, shouldn't be watching, shouldn't be going to. Are we listening? And God patiently waited. You know, God patiently waited 120 years for Noah to finish the ark. Scripture doesn't tell us, but I wonder what it was like for Noah in 120 years. You know what it's like to be excited about doing something. It's new. It's like, you know, this was probably, he moved with fear. He was, oh no, you know, I don't know when this is going to happen. I better get to work. But you know what it was like to just have something you're about to do. I mean, you're kind of excited about, but you're kind of like, I hope it turns out good, and you're all in. And okay, it's been a week. I'm kind of tired of doing this. This is a lot of work, you know, whatever it may be. You get to that point where it's like, okay. Can you imagine 120 years and you're building this ark? The opposition that comes. Guarantee you he faced opposition with the wickedness of the day, stealing tools, sabotaging the project. But as God patiently waited, Noah patiently continued doing what God asked him to do, believing God, believing God's word, believing the warning that God gave, the warning that judgment was coming. Because you realize if Noah had not built that ark, Noah would have been caught in the rainstorm too. Noah would have drowned in the flood if he had not been faithful to do what God asked him to do, even with the oppositions. Nobody likes oppositions. Not too many people wake up in the mornings and go, man, I wonder what opposition I'm going to face today. I wonder if the car is going to break down. I wonder if I'm going to get in trouble at work. I mean, I wonder if I'm going to stub my little toe and break it on the way to the restroom. I mean, right? We all wake up, I hope this is a better day. I hope there's no problems today. Because if there's problems, I'm going back to bed. And I'll wake up tomorrow in hopes that's a better day, right? We all have this mindset that we have about the days that we have to live in. Again, here's Noah 120 years. But he finishes it. Hindsight's 20/20. We read scripture. He finished what God gave him to do. My prayer and hope is I finish what God's given me to do. And I've had plenty of days where I just wanted to give up. Lord, it's enough. Come, Lord, quickly and take me. Wait a minute. I don't really mean that. Give me some more time. I mean, I'm ready to go to heaven, but you know what? I want to kind of enjoy my marriage, my family, the things I do. I mean, I just a little upset. I'm glad the Lord knows our heart and knows we don't mean it, really, when we say, okay, Lord, it's enough. Because Elijah told God, it's enough, kill me. It's been a bad day. It started out good because the fire of God fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, and all the people shouted, God is the Lord, and the prophets of Baal were slain. It was a good day for Elijah. until he got that nasty note from a Jezebel. By this time tomorrow, you're going to be like one of those prophets, dead. It started out a good day. Why did it have to end on a bad note? So he runs for his life, right? He finds himself on a juniper tree. He's tired. He's exhausted. God, it's enough. Just take me home. And what does God do? Doesn't even answer his prayer. Bible says he sends an angel, gives him some water, gives him some food, and tells him, look, the journey's long. Get eaten. He takes his journey into the wilderness, finds himself in a cave, and God shows him fire, a tornado, sandstorm. God's not in it. Then God speaks to Elijah in that soft, still voice. That's what we need. We need the soft, still voice in our life. Because there's too much noise in the world. We need the soft, still voice of God. And we see the evidence of Noah's faith. Noah actually believed what God said because he was walking with God. In verse 9, it says, Noah walked with God. We can see the evidence of our faith as we walk with God because we'll see our faith. We'll see our faith in action. Because in verse 22, the last verse of the chapter, Noah was responsive to what God said. He didn't just believe it. He acted upon it. He didn't just hear the word of God. He was a doer of the word of God. In verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Do you realize Noah couldn't even force his sons to work? But apparently his sons wanted to work because they saw the faith of their father. I can't force my kids to do right. All I can do is try to be an example, and I have not always been a good example. Well, all I can do is try to lead them in trusting God and showing them that, you know what, God's word is true. What God says is going to come to pass. God's going to help you with whatever he wants you to do. But Noah, he was determined, and with God's help, he did everything God told him. He didn't cut corners on the ark. He built the ark exactly how God told him. The dimensions and everything, just one door. Yeah, but wouldn't there be, I think it would be good if there was two doors, one on either side. That way we open it because, you know, there's a lot of animals. And we need that cross breeze to come in and just kind of, you know, blow some of that stinky air out, you know. Nope, one door. That's what God said. Okay, well, how about more than one window? Because, you know, I want to be able to, you know, run around and look out the starboard side, look out, you know, over here and just get a full 360 view of what's going on. Nope, one window. That's at the top. That way when you open it, you're looking straight up into heaven. I'm saying if we do things God's way, we'll find that our life is more blessed. There's more joy. There's more peace. Even surrounded by wickedness. Even surrounded by people who don't want to do right, you and I can still find the grace of God in godless days. Hebrews 11, verse 7, again, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. He did what God told him to do. And he was motivated by a healthy fear of God. Being warned of God, moved with fear. Sometimes fear is a good motivator. The fear of God's a good motivator. The fear of man is not a good motivator. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Because what can man do? Sure, I mean, the Bible says after man kills the body, what else can he do to you? Man can only do so much. Sure, he was faced with wickedness around. But you know what? He feared God above the fear of man. Because God said destruction was coming. Have we lost sight of the fact that judgment is coming to this world? Have we lost sight of the fact that one day you and I and every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ? I think some have forgotten. At times I've forgotten, because if I would always remember, there's things I wouldn't do and decisions I wouldn't make. And we need that healthy fear of God to motivate us to keep doing what He wants us to do, to live a life that's upright before the Lord, a life that illuminates Christ in our life, a life that testifies of someone who truly believes what they say and lives that life according to their belief in Christ. Do you and I still believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins? Do we believe He still rose again from that grave, from that tomb, and He is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the trumpet to sound for Him to come get us? Do we still believe that? Are we still living that way? Noah, he obeyed regardless of the cost. In the days that he was living, he still obeyed the word of God regardless of the cost. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." We can read and see Noah, he believed. Noah, he obeyed. Noah, he was saved. Pastor, I already have salvation. That's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. The day that you and I got saved was the beginning. That's not the end all. Do we still believe? Do we still obey? Do we still follow? Even when the world isn't? Even when loved ones aren't? Do I still believe that God is worth living for? Do I still believe I need to be that living sacrifice? You know, the wonderful, beautiful thing about Noah, he's a picture of Jesus Christ. The ark is a picture of salvation. All throughout the Old Testament, you see different types of Christ through the men that God would work through. And Noah was a picture. He was a preacher of righteousness. Noah's name means comfort. The name Noah means comfort. Again, in Matthew 24, verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Again, they all mocked him. They all made fun of him. Ah, one way of salvation. If it rains, we'll save ourselves. But yet, they didn't know the day it was going to... He didn't even know until God said, "Get in the ark." And then the rains came, and the floods came. None of us know the moment Christ is going to return. We know He is. Noah knew at some point the wrath of God's going to fall. I'm building this ark for something. And Jesus has prepared a way of salvation. And you and I and others have already walked through that single door. We've walked through Christ into that safe haven. But just like Noah, again, Noah being a type of Christ, Jesus found favor with God. Noah found favor with God, because it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," and so did Jesus. Because in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." In Matthew 3:17, "Lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" He found grace, Jesus found grace, favor with God, and so did Noah, and so did you and I. Because God revealed the way of salvation. He opened our eyes to the truth of what we needed. Not only did that ark provide salvation for anyone who would go into it, you and I know that Jesus provides salvation as well. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Do we still believe that? In John 10:9, Jesus said, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." That's why God only had one door in the ark. It was a picture of the one way of salvation. no other windows but the one pointing to heaven, because you can't climb into salvation any other way. There's not multiple ways to heaven. There is one way, and that's through the door, Jesus Christ. And like I said, the name Noah means comfort. And what an amazing thing that in Genesis 5:29, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And yet in Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not just for salvation. We still toil in this life, and we still need that rest on the inside, the rest to our soul. We still need to believe that, you know what, even in godless days, we can still find grace. We can still find grace with God. We can still live a life that is meaningful, a life that's full of joy, a life that's full of peace, even a life full of love, because it's all found in Jesus Christ. But you and I know others as well that need to find that grace. That's why it's so important that we do not allow ourselves to live like the world is living. We need to be different. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We need to live a life that is full of the grace of God, that's full of the joy of the Lord. The temptation comes. You already know the devil desires to sift you like wheat. The devil desires to destroy your life, destroy your faith, destroy your resolve in your heart to walk with God daily. He wants you and me to drown in unforgiveness. He wants us to drown in misery. But you and I have got to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, who reminds us, he died for me. He rose for me. He's coming for me. And I want to keep walking with him. I want to keep living a life that glorifies God and lifts up Christ. A life that encourages me that, okay, he helped me through that storm. He'll help me through the next. He loved me so much, he died for me. He loves me so much, he's going to keep walking with me and helping me. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's people have to understand the devil is sitting right next to you. No, not the person next to you. The devil. He's studying you. He's studying me. Can't read your mind. Can't read your heart. He's not God. But he's studying. What is it I can use against him or her to get them to walk away from God, to stop trusting God, to stop preparing to meet their Savior in the air? He can't take the gift of salvation away. He can't take away that the truth is you're going to meet Christ in the air. You're going to see your Savior. He can't take that away. But he sure wants to hinder mine and your life right now so we don't have the fullness of joy. We don't walk with God. We allow any and everything to offend us, to cause us to give up, to cause us to doubt God, and not to have a wonderful relationship with God, and to be reminded his grace is sufficient. If he can help Paul, he can definitely help me. If he can help Esther in her time, he can definitely help me. If he can help Noah, who apparently when you look at it, besides his family, there's nobody else wanting to live for God. You could almost say, Noah truly was the only one. Elijah thought he was, but God said there's 7,000 haven't bowed the knee. But it seemed like Noah, besides again his family, he's the only one trying to live for God. Can you imagine again the discouragement looking around? Nobody? That's okay, because our relationship is not based on who is and isn't living for God. It's based on, Am I living for God? Am I trusting God? Am I fully letting the Word of God dwell richly in my heart to change me from the inside out? Am I letting God's Word be the lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path? Do I still believe I have grace and favor with God because I'm His child? When was the last time you stopped loving your child? When was the last time you disowned your child? I dare say you haven't. I know I haven't. Have we been upset at our kids at times? Absolutely. Parents get upset. Because if our kids had half a brain, they would do what we said. Right? But then we remember, okay, we were like that too. But again, you still love your kids. And you still pray for them. You still hope they do what's right. We have a Heavenly Father who never stops loving us, who never stops guiding us, who never stops working in our heart. We just have to respond to His voice, respond to His leading. He does want to do great and mighty things in your life, in my life. He did it in the days of Noah. I love the Bible, and I say this often. When you read the Bible, you're reading the extreme of circumstances. You can't read the Bible and show, oh, that was so simple. It's the extreme of life. To remind us the extremes that happen in our life, they're a piece of cake for God to deal with. And you and I can continue to find grace in the eyes of God. We just have to keep looking up, have to keep listening, have to keep walking with Him, keep trusting Him, and letting God do great and mighty things in your life.